Time now for the Hardline.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside.
The Hardline features former St. Louis Blue, Cam Jansen.
Now the right by Jansen. Another left by Jansen. Now he goes to the uppercut.
And former Missouri Tiger, T.J. Moe.
Underneath, T.J. Moe sidesteps a man, gets to the 45. Left sideline, he's got a seam. T.J. Moe to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the house. 68 yards.
Whoa, unbelievable.
The Hard Line starts now.
Hey, welcome into the Hard Line. 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Tom, TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley here on time. Now, we did, of course, have to delay the opening of the show for John to be here on time, but he is indeed here. It is 1:08, 8 minutes past the hour. John, welcome to the show. How did you make it pseudo on time?
Great answer.
And then, and finally...
855-282.
He was in Jimmy Hoover's office.
8255. Matt Rocchio over here running the board for us. John, I know you're kind of sleep deprived and your nights are kind of fuzzy most of the times, but Cardinals hit 5 home runs last night, 3 in 1 inning, and of course a grand slam from Yadier Molina to cap it off. Two out of Marcell Ozuna. How about that? Ozuna, Paul DeJong, Patrick Wisdom. All in one inning.
Well, and they were each hit harder and harder. I mean, DeJong and Wisdom basically just hit rock.
Crushed it. Boom. Yep. How about the two out of Ozuna, though? How much of that you think was his shoulder? Finally coming off the DL. So I argued that the underlying metrics, exit velocity, launch angle, all those different things, would tell you that it's not a problem because last year we hit 37 home runs and most of that hadn't dropped. It was within the ballpark of reason. But coming off the DL, popping 2 home runs in one game for the first time all season, there's something there.
If you're arguing exit velocity and point of launch and everything, you might want to stop by the Kmart and pick up some NADs and sew them on.
Or Target.
Target.
Well, they were swinging up, John, and he was still swinging
that's
up.
All this. Launch. You know what it can? It's just an uppercut. It's just.
Well, you're I know
just,
about those.
You're just
swinging up.
Swinging up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, he was still
instead
swinging up.
Instead of level bat, instead of pounding it into the ground, running at it. Cause oftentimes, I got on base by pounding it into the ground and utilizing
that's
my
what
speed.
I heard. John, that's what I heard.
You hit it over the center fielder's head and still made an out. All right? There's something.
Just three times.
There you go. Your thoughts are welcome, of course. Cam Jansen, as always, will be monitoring the text line. Be nice to him, though. You know, it's like when you say mean things, Cam reads them sometimes. It's discouraging.
It is very discouraging. Mm. The first one's just test.
No okay, great.
I don't know what that means, but it's from the 314.
Ooh, I wonder if that's one of the numbers,
oh, yeah.
Rock.
Okay. No?
No, because they had a text go in on August 31st, so 6 days ago. I don't think anyone's been blocked in that window.
Unblocked?
Or blocked. I'm saying he had a text go in like late August.
Gotcha.
So do you think
they're going to email you back at some point?
I'm hoping. I got another confirmation email that they've put the second number that we gave them into the engineers to unblock it. And they say they're supposed to email me back when they unblock it, but I haven't gotten an email yet on either of them. So,
well, okay.
We're
first
waiting.
First step. And if we don't have it by the end of the week, I will call. And we'll officially. We got some people that are blocked, John, and you can't just unblock people. It's a process.
Really?
Splashback Deuce is accidentally blocked. He has, for a long time, been a large part of our show.
But Ed's not accidentally blocked because you blocked him yourself. Now you can't unblock him again.
That was purposeful, yeah.
And nobody knows
malicious.
What Ed's number is either, so.
No, I miss him.
No, I don't.
That's why I blocked him.
That's right.
It's not just about you, TJ.
Yeah, well, it was that day when I blocked him.
Apparently.
So, there you go. All right, boys and girls, the obvious story, and we've been talking about it for a little while here, but the Cardinals bullpen, even last night, freaks you out, right? You're up, 11-5, and then it turns into, you're like, all right, you're not going to see Jordan Hicks then, and then it turns into a save opportunity, you see Jordan Hicks. Dominic Leone has a terrible inning. You know, that kind of thing is what happens when all of the underlying metrics, the fielding independent ERA and those things, finally catch up. There was a significant difference between the regular ERA, which was near the top of the major since the All-Star break, and the fielding independent ERA, which generally indicates you're getting a lot of luck, and eventually that's going to level out. I think the fielding independent ERA at the bullpen was like 5-something. Yeah. So what you don't have is a – you got two power arms, and for whatever reason, neither one of them are getting a whole lot of strikeouts. Jordan Hicks as – I mean, he's the Major League Baseball power arm. He's one of, what, two guys, and I don't even think Chapman could do it anymore, that throw at 105, you know. But he's off and on, and he walks guys. Carlos Martinez is a power arm, but he walks a lot of dudes, although he is one of the few.
Especially with bases loaded. Good Lord.
Was it him yesterday?
Somebody did yesterday.
No,
it feels like every single time bases loaded, we're just walking guys left and right and getting these teams back in the game.
I think that was Tyler Webb that came in for John Gant yesterday, yeah, and walked a guy home.
Was it frustrating?
Yeah, it was frustrating. But the point of this is to say yesterday they had 11 walks. Day before that, they had 10. You cannot maintain when you have that many guys on base, eventually it's going to catch up to you. They're going to score a lot of runs. Now, yesterday you get 5 home runs, yeah, to overcome things like that. But you were having a team. I mean, the bullpen was completely redone, and they looked good for a while, but Bud Norris has largely fallen off the cliff since the All-Star break. Brett Cecil's worthless. You're going to release him at some point. And some of your younger guys, or even guy like Tyler Webb, has had his troubles here. You're going to have to figure out what to do, because I don't think Bud Norris is going to be your closer moving forward. And it's either going to be Jordan Hicks or Carlos Martinez.
I was going to say Carlos Martinez.
If you trust him, but he has a tendency to walk people. Mm-hmm. And when he comes back like this and is used to being stretched out, because keep in mind, Carlos typically does a great job of settling in and then striking a bunch of guys out. But that settling in, there's no time.
Could take
for
a
that.
While. Yeah.
Right. One idea, John Hadley, is if Michael Wacha does get healthy, is he a part of this bullpen?
He has to be. He has to be, because
there's no time to stretch him out.
No. And on top of everything else, once again, regardless of this situation with Walker, he's literally one of your 5 or 6 best arms.
Yes.
In the entire organization.
That's
so
right.
You've got to find a way to utilize him.
Mm-hmm. And then you do have some experienced arms in there. You got young guys, but Bud Norris has largely fallen off. But if he's just a guy going in to get an out, that's entirely different than the guy who's tasked with closing out every game. Just because he's not your closer doesn't mean he's not useful. He can still play a part in this bullpen. But you do have to figure out what exactly you're going to do with everybody else. Because when you have a group of guys, it was rebuilt and they're going for a while, but then they do fall off the cliff, and you got guys you know about. Jordan Hicks is going to be around. You know that. Carlos Martinez this year can give you things to help you. You know that. But you got to figure out what order and how to maneuver through the guys that are falling off the cliff here. And Mike Shield, as smart as he is the guy that left Bud Norrison for 25 pitches or whatever it was to get rocked and then put him in the next day and did the same thing. So everybody's complaining about Matheny. But
well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
There's been a couple times with him that this has raised its head and people just sort of like move on, which goes to show you once again the selective memory,
yes,
of the sports fan, the sports analyst, and millennials, which we'll get into, mm-hmm, because I became physically ill this morning when watching some of the new words that were added to the dictionary and why. And it all comes down to millennials and their incredible laziness.
Like what?
John,
you want me to say this
of
now?
Of course. Cool. No, I don't know. TJ, sorry. TJ. I ask TJ. He's on the show. Right,
I'm fine. I like football, so I'm just waiting to get to that segment.
TJ.
Yeah.
Added officially to the Webster Dictionary, there's a few words, the two that stand out to me, fave and mag.
Can you define both those, please?
Mag, like magazine?
I mean marg. Fag, marg, marg, and...
I knew that was coming, man.
And fave.
They were just too similar.
I think that those was
combined,
in the dictionary.
Wow. Is that like smoking a cigarette in Britain?
I'm telling you.
I tell you what, Rocket quick. Didn't even bat an eye and hit the drop button.
I keep telling you that in
Canada. We know what's on your mind.
That they said, let's go smoke a fag.
We ain't in Canada. So when you say that, you know what you're thinking.
So it's marg. I don't give a damn.
But what is it, why they do that? Why do we know? What's the definition?
Fave bothers me. Marg doesn't bother me.
So what Fave is favorite, just abbreviated.
That's kind of cool.
Is
Margaret?
Margarita.
Oh.
Which is abbreviated. So these freaking millennials are so freaking lazy, they can't say four more letters.
It's difficult sometimes,
it's so pathetically just disturbing and disgusting.
It's the favorite's five letters.
You can't say favorite. You got to say fave. And you can't say margarita. You got to say marg.
Are five more letters. Yeah. I'm with you.
Who's counting?
John, I think the 618 on the text line also hates millennials. He's saying, John, you think Willie Mays worried about launch angle?
No.
You think Willie Mays? No. You think Willie Mays worried about saying a couple extra letters
John,
on his words?
No. Willie Mays. Back when America was Willie great. Mays John, manned up.
I'm going to be honest with
said
you.
Said full
here.
Words.
You're going to have to explain to me why when everybody turns 60, they have Velcro shoes. Then yes. That seems pretty lazy.
No.
TJ, they put
no,
in their time.
No.
All right.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Listen, you cushy millennials, you're sitting on your couches all day. Back then, when they were playing, it was harder work.
No,
my grandfather used to have this little apparatus to help him put his socks on, so he didn't even have to bend over.
No,
he would just throw it down.
Okay,
there
let's go ahead and mock the aging people who built this country
55.
With their bare hands.
He was 55.
I'm 50. I'm 58. And I'm scuffling.
I mean, his toes are all facing the wrong direction, but whatever.
I put 12 pounds back on. I'm having trouble getting to my
TJ,
feet.
You're the last person to shame people for appendages that go the wrong way, all right?
Mine don't go the right direction. They just don't function properly.
Can't.
Well, the one doesn't.
Fave. Fave.
I like
added to the Webster Dictionary.
I have a fave marg. Here at the Crooked Brew House.
And so anyhow, and then there's like a new meaning for the word trigger, which my son says to me.
That's a difficult one. Hey, easy, John. We already know
John,
what you deal
you
with the last
trigger,
one.
You're a little triggered right now.
We don't want you to
trigger
mistake that
you're a little
word,
triggered
buddy.
Right now.
Look, we don't want to mistake.
Oh, God.
Okay, please.
So.
Just think.
Let's get into trigger.
Oh, my God. Oh, stay out
so
of this one.
So now all of a sudden, it's like, you know, what it is, Dad, is like when, you know, you're around a millennial.
Trigger warning, which you have to give before this talk.
They trigger you.
It's what happened.
They trigger you.
It's what happened to everyone who hates Colin Kaepernick yesterday. Nike triggered
that's
them.
What happened to the whole Missouri campus during the protest.
That's a good
2015.
One.
So who decided that the trigger makes sense in that case?
I was even triggered that they were triggered. It's amazing.
See?
Yeah.
He's using trigger and trigger.
No, I was triggered that they were triggered.
I am
trigger. Short for trigger.
Well, hipster has its own definition of the word. I guess trigger is Webster definition for the word Hadley. Oh, is a middle-aged fat man that can't speak clearly and has a tiny wee wee. That's from the hipster.
I had to change one word for another. With that tiny wee wee.
In fairness, you haven't seen it in 10 years.
No,
you have no idea.
You don't know what's
still
going
tiny,
on. Or that it works.
All I know is much like a grandfather clock, occasionally it bounces knee to knee. Now, what I'm saying. What I'm saying,
disturbing,
or maybe that's not it. Something's
that's
going
not
on.
It.
Now what I'm saying is, what I'm saying
it's
is,
kidney, John.
When you're so freaking, and by the way, don't give millennials too much credit.
Okay.
Sitting on their couch.
All right,
they don't have any money for a couch.
No.
They're sitting on their freaking beanbag.
Blow up mattress.
Yeah, their beanbag. Yeah,
or their mom's
which are really hard
couch.
To
yeah.
get out of.
Yeah.
Hang back chairs.
It's just
those are tough.
It's ridiculous.
I just have to roll over and get up.
Well, you can't put your drink anywhere.
John just has a turtle's head on this one.
It's the worst. I had to stop. I had to stop using mine back in the day when I was a millennial.
So my no,
you
but
grow
my,
out of it.
I do.
I mean,
this
is just getting so far out the realm of acceptability.
Okay,
with the sheer laziness of millennials that are forcing abbreviated words.
It's somewhat of a waste
dictionary
of time, yeah.
As actual words.
Yeah, I don't mind the words itself, but to have to go through that process.
In my
ridiculous.
Opinion, this is stupid. Now, you're screwing yourself. You're trying to write a paper. You don't want shorter words, guys.
Your wrist hurts.
You don't want it to be okay for you to use shorter words. You need as long as words possible so that you can write these papers a little bit easier.
Here's a little secret, boys and girls.
Get out of the way.
Make the periods like 20 font.
Make the spaces 12.5.
Yep. You can do it. It'll be fine.
These makes least, sense.
You do that on a 13-page paper, all of a sudden it's 17 pages.
Yes. Yeah.
Just saying.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right, because that's the other thing, too.
Laziness?
Double spacing.
Oh, yeah. I do that
Wait, do you have a problem with double spacing?
Yeah. It's just a means of filling the page.
Well, yeah, also, no doubt.
I'm typically the annoyed can read by it. The double spacing, too. Like, it's harder to type. You got to hit it twice. It takes longer. It's just not that fun.
There's a button that changes how it automatically spaces it for you.
Yeah.
You never taught how to use Microsoft Word correctly?
Oh, sure. I took multiple classes on Microsoft Word. But
you were hitting the enter button twice to give you two spaces.
No, I never use that because I don't. It's like a waste of time. Where it's like it's one thing if it's tiny font, it's all clumped together. But if you just use regular font on a regular page, that's not difficult.
Speaking
to read.
Of fonts, John, you got any fonts you want to rail against? Anything about?
There's got to be
any against Helvetica that really, really grinds your gears.
There's nothing. Any about colors fonts you don't like? That I have, other than the fact that these fonts might punk be a tricky kids. Word. Actually know like all the different names.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, like I just like I use the pull down bar and then I just look
He's
at the
mad
different.
That I know the difference.
I just look at the different things. They can like go down and they can name them. Oh, well, you never use Veranda
no.
in that way.
Yeah.
German,
no, you don't, German John. You didn't know that?
Is a strictly
Let me tell you
conversational.
Let
font,
me tell you,
John.
I'm talking, Rocchio. If I said to my grandfather, "You never use a Veranda that way," I'd have had the crap beat out of me.
Oh my God, that would have been hilarous.
Can you imagine?
Is that Giovanni?
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
That text is into you guys?
Of course
guys?
It is.
Oh, you're hiding to me. You were talking to these guys next door? Oh, my God. Millennial.
So,
that's funny.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
What did you call Penn State?
What you say? You said
something. You called Penn State
with Catholic Church or something?
No, I just said there's a shocker. Eric Messersmith, Catholic, went to Penn State and has a truck stop postcard collection.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So, listen to me.
Did you call Penn Rape University? What did you call it?
No, I did not. You did. No, I just said what? Something. I did not. I simply posed a question. What does the Catholic Church
Giovanni.
And Penn State have in common?
Eric.
Giovanni.
So, listen to me, Cam.
Eric was
listen
a victim
to me.
Of both.
I am.
Seriously. I had a guy tell me once, you can't use Veranda for that.
I've heard that before.
The fact that he even...
Kate doesn't let me use it.
I'm like, for what? What do you mean?
I don't even know what you're talking about, John.
Your font. That's the name of the font.
Oh, okay.
Veranda. I wanted to backhand him just for knowing the name of the font.
You should have.
You got way too much time. You know
I
why?
Agree.
You know why you know the name of every font? You know why?
Because you
have no freaking job, and you're sucking off your parents. You're sitting there, you freaking millennial punk.
And a beanbag chair.
And you got
chair.
Nothing to do other than to watch podcasts and study
nothing
the
wrong
font
with that.
List
nothing
on your
wrong
computer.
With that. Nothing wrong with that. We got podcasts going in here, so we don't want
to scare
anybody
as
away
offense.
From podcasts. Hey, TJ?
Giovanni was commenting on our stuff and going back and reading it. He was giving us the Vegas lines. The Kansas one is wrong, but then he says Eric bench presses 75 pounds. It's plus 150.
He does, doesn't he?
Kansas minus 170 wins as a favorite, or Eric bench presses 75 pounds. That's a plus 150.
I don't know.
It is good. The amount of people, we have a bunch of commenters on our, when we do our Facebook Live there, and mostly they're railing on Eric. It's great. The entire
That's
time,
easy.
It's Eric. Has lost. There's one. Eric has lost his mind. As always, thanks, TJ. Eric, keep trying.
Keep trying.
Let's see. Eric, wrong like always. Oh, dear.
Did someone say they took multiple Microsoft Word classes? A monkey and a bag of bananas could learn it in an hour. It's from the 618. That was TJ Moe, by the way.
And did say multiple.
I mean, multiple
Microsoft
classes.
So the question
Microsoft
is, did
classes.
He literally take
what does that
several
even mean?
Different Microsoft Word-related classes? Or did he have to repeat the class?
I don't know.
No, we had it. Did you not take the one rock? Well, you were in a business. We had to take basically a computer programming class where there was a whole bunch of back stuff that kind of involved my. But no, we took Microsoft Word in high school and college.
I'm just really wondering how you had to double space it manually. That's just blowing my mind.
Can I read another one from Valley Park Viper?
Everything's different on Macs too, by the way.
He's Valley Park Viper's ripping Hadley pretty bad here. I'm going to have to do it here. Valley Park Viper, hold on, they keep coming in now. Hadley, look in the mirror. You keep using the term millennial. However, you're describing yourself fat, broke, lazy loser. You are the man. Congrats, you filthy animal. Jeez Louise, he got you good on that one.
That's not true. That's not remotely true. Am I lazy? Am I lazy?
Sorry. No.
We'll get to this later, John.
Can we go through the other ones?
Hold on. Hockey Bob has got to explain fonts to John Hadley real quick.
Oh.
Here's Hockey Bob. Hockey Bob, you just
Hello?
Waited for 1 second here. We don't do headphones in this
no.
place.
No.
Hockey Bob.
Go ahead, dude.
You're on.
Okay, John, here's the reality. Okay, there's more than a million stupid people in this country who don't know how to write, who don't know how to punctuate, who don't know how to end sentence. They ramble on and on and on. When you use different fonts, it allows the reader to kind of take a step back and think, okay, now this is a whole different thing altogether. It's a whole different topic. I use multiple fonts in pretty much everything that I write because my purpose is to get a message across to somebody the easiest way possible. And by using different fonts, it definitely helps. So if you don't know your fonts, then you really can't be a good journalist. Thank you for taking my call.
Hockey Bob, might I suggest...
Go, he owns you.
Might I suggest a girlfriend or hell, it's 2018.
He's got one.
A boyfriend, just something to...
He's got one.
...pass your time, because if somebody sends me a letter that has multiple fonts...
He hung
in
up
it,
on you.
If somebody sends me a letter with multiple fonts, I'm not even reading it. I'm tearing it up and throwing it away.
Hockey Bob was describing fonts. It makes sense what he's saying.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
When was the last time you ever seen a written correspondent with different fonts?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Gould does it all the time.
I agree with the part where Hockey Bob was like, you need different fonts are useful for different things. I disagree wholly that you should use different fonts within the same communication. That's
screwy. Yeah, I didn't really pay attention to that part. But he does make sense, John, a little bit. And he does have a girlfriend. Him and Big Al
and
hooked him up,
you
know?
He was so mad about it.
Oh, him and Big Al are going out? That I can believe.
Big Al hooked Hockey Bob up with a chick.
Yeah, How much?
How'd that go?
That was the first question I asked. But he didn't answer that one.
Seriously, why not, Cam?
I don't know. I'll ask him again.
Make him. It's like you're the one person I could
I had
to
talk about the Blues power play. At the time.
What'd you learn?
Not much.
That was a great definition.
Tell me
for
about
triggered.
The Blues power play. Is it going to be better this year?
Well, we'll have to see.
Do you think it's going to be better this
Absolutely
year?
Absolutely should be better. And if it's not, then there's going to be problems.
All right. Well, tell me about dynamic protective coatings.
Oh, okay. I bore you already with that?
No, sorry.
feels good to talk hockey for a little bit. Yeah. We will
That's
soon.
Coming up. It's officially what, next Friday?
I believe it's Thursday, yeah. Okay. So there's going to be a lot
right around
here.
The corner.
Dynamic Protective Coatings, John, offers residential, commercial, industrial, and institutional floor coatings. Their floor coatings require little to no maintenance and have a long lifespan, John. They really do, probably longer than you. Dynamic Protective Coatings engages the customer from the outset to ensure that the proper materials are chosen for the environment and condition of the surface. They guarantee satisfaction. They really do. There's a lot of aspects to consider when applying a protective coating to your floor, and it's critical to have a vast understanding of each of these components and how they probably fit together. They understand that downtime and disruptions for maintenance, repair, and replacement can be costly for your business. Dynamic Protective Coating strives to work swiftly to keep your costs and closure times low without compromising details critical to surface preparation. This is the hardest live read ever, by the way, and I'm doing damn good. Dynamic Protective Coatings is an application specialist completely independent from chemical manufacturers, so they're not tied to a specific product, John. They're not. Which greatly opens up the number of options they can use to find a solution that best fulfills your needs and meets the application criteria. Give them a call, 314-254-5084. John, what was the number again?
314-254-5084.
Whoa!
That's right,
I would have never got that. Good for you, John. They're wrong about you. You do have a memory. Yeah, I knew you'd get it, TJ. Or check them out.
No, I got a memory. I just got a small... What?
Oh, yeah, no way. Hit your knees. Check them out online at dynamicprotectivecoatings.com. Whew, that's a tough one, TJ. That's a tough one.
But in all seriousness, check them out.
You got to check these guys. I did a video with them. And honestly, if you have a nice garage, this stuff makes it unbelievable. Shiny, looks great. You can put Mizzou colors. You can put Blues colors. They sparkle. Really cool, man. It looks cool and classy. It's all hell.
And you know what? You're not going to have to worry about walking around when it's raining, wet and everything
else.
You're not going to
be
slipping, falling.
No, it's easy to clean. You can grip. It's awesome. It really, really, really amps up your garage, man. Especially if you've got nice vehicles in there and stuff like that. Really cool stuff.
John? You had, you missed the show yesterday because you were at the Kirkwood Brew House, and you can't get away from that place. Tell me more.
Well, it's just, you know, once you think to yourself, wow, that was really, really good.
Then you just never leave.
But I have to have more.
Yeah.
And then you have another one. You went, wow, that's really, really good. But you have to have more.
Yeah, I can
do that. And that's why I keep thinking to myself, all right, I'm just going to have a quick stop, Cam.
Yeah.
Just a quick app. Mm-hmm. But that first app is so good. You know that there's that other app, and you get that. Then you get the main course, and then next thing you know, you're on to desserts.
You know what the best is?
No.
When I walk into Kirkwood Brewhouse and John just sits down to eat, I go right next to him, boy, and you're going to be stuffed afterwards because he keeps it coming. John, you do.
That's all.
You're
I
one
do.
Of the best going out to eat partners you can get.
You got that right.
Yes, sir.
All be with
you're
my
stuffed,
little smallie.
Yes,
now,
no doubt about
let
that.
Let me tell you something.
If you ever lost some weight, you'd be able to see a smallie.
Yeah, it's probably still there.
Well, then that would just be even that much more depressing.
Oh,
yeah, it would. Yeah, just keep your eyes off
keep
it.
Keep it coming.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if you can't see it, then you're just, I'm just thinking well, myself.
You don't need it. You don't need it. You don't need
that's
it anyway.
A whopper.
You don't need it anyway.
So the pack, it's true.
Fuck you both, though.
It's really just, it's just really a means of body cleansing now.
Yeah, so you just got
to
clean it.
You don't have to, John.
No.
No, I'm talking about purifying the kidney
yeah,
and liver.
Yeah, well, that you got
to
worry about.
You don't have to.
You don't have to.
No.
Just sweat it out.
Let it go. Right.
So I'm serious. Yesterday I started out with the calamari.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, That was pretty good. That was pretty good. Then I had some onion rings.
Yeah, you did.
I'm thinking, then I had a wonderful,
done.
Wonderful. They have a spinach salad over there.
You eat salad, too.
Fabulous.
You eat salad.
It's fabulous.
Mm.
Then I wound up, obviously, going to the hamburger.
Yeah.
And then I wrapped up with the salmon dinner.
Mm.
Dude.
Yeah.
You're
how
an animal,
you
man.
And then,
25 minutes?
Then I was in there for a couple hours, and then I went to lunch. So my point is, if you, again, it's just one of those.
He went to lunch.
He went to lunch afterwards.
It's one of those places that's very comfortable. You want to sit there. You want to watch some sports.
Mm-hmm.
You have
4K
booths.
TVs,
you
baby.
Have high tables. You have the bar. You have proper setting.
Cool people that work there.
Very,
nice people.
Very nice people. Yeah. Terrific service. A great menu. Great staff. Last I checked, it's like 796 brews over there.
Yeah, 27 local craft beers.
Yeah. I mean, it's seriously.
Try them all.
It's just one of those places. I do not live in Kirkwood.
Mm-mm, no, you don't. You're a North County boy.
I wish I had a Kirkwood Brewhouse close to me.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because I just hang. Seriously.
Well, they wish they had a Kirkwood Brewhouse close to you, too.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, where's John living? Okay, we're over to one right there.
It's one of those comfortable atmospheres with very good food, terrific service that you go in, you're taken care of, you go home with a smile. Kirkwood Brewhouse, it's that simple.
Right on. Hey, John, we have a ton of texts that we'll get to after.
Yeah, and
after
Big Al.
Oh, so we got
back.
A little bitchy millennials.
Oh, they are on
you,
boy.
We have
punks.
A little.
You got all day because you don't have a job.
You're
sitting there waiting for mom to say, take the trash out, Tommy.
We have a millennial on the phone, too, Big Al. Big Al, call us back. We got to go to break. He wants to tell us about Hockey Bob's girlfriend. we'll be right back.
Oh,
this
dear God.
Line.